Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. This is Jill Scott sitting in for Bob Inyart, who's on vacation with his family. And boy, is it a well-deserved vacation. That man has been working around the clock for months on end since April. And I'm not kidding, around the clock. He's just constantly busy for the fight for the unborn. And there's no one I respect more other than my husband in this fight. Gee, we had a fantastic weekend this weekend. We brought in Joe Scheidler and Eric Scheidler to speak at a rally at the new Planned Parenthood facility. And we ended up with about 250 people outside the facility with signs. Will did a wonderful job. He had signs for everybody. They marched around the facility. We had speakers. Will spoke unbelievable. This is a young guy, new. Great speech at the facility. I was so proud of him. He's doing such a fabulous job. If you see Will, shake his hand, pat him on the back, and tell him what a great job he's doing. Unbelievable. We had a rally at the hotel. The hotel was not the greatest hotel. Went to the Radisson up on Quebec, and I was not pleased with the way they treated us. But nevertheless, the rally was terrific, and people learned a lot. Will gave another speech there. Fabulous. He's just training people to do the right thing all the time. And that's just such a uplifting thing for me because we need young people coming up behind us. I have in the studio with me an old friend, a good friend, Sarah Jo from New York.
Greetings. Greetings, Colorado. I love you.
Yeah, she's been here for a couple of days with me, and we've been reminiscing and just causing trouble on our own here. It's fun. And first, before we get into Sarah Jo's going to tell us our story, real interesting, her story. But I want to let you know something else that happened because of the rally on Saturday. Sarah Jo, there was a contractor that was working the site that day, a subcontractor. And he contacted Will and quit.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that? It's fabulous.
It's wonderful.
He called Will. He said, I was up all night. I'm sick to my stomach. I can't believe that I was at that site. He said, I knew the songs that you were singing outside that abortion clinic better than you did. You know, a Christian, he was not told what he was to do that day, what he was doing. And when he realized it, he was sick, just sick to his stomach. So he contacted Will.
Right.
And he let Will know, which was fabulous. And Will and he were at together this morning when he let Whites know that he quit.
Praise
God. Another one quit.
Hallelujah.
Yes, praise the Lord. He quit, and he's really shaken by the experience that he would have had something to do with that. But, you know, that goes, you know, remember Gary Megason in the Rocky Mountain News said that he was giving all the subcontractors the truth about what they were doing. So, again, he's lied. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Well, the child-killing industry in itself is masters of deceit.
That's right.
We shouldn't be too surprised.
No, but you know what? It's heart-wrenching when you see somebody like this poor man who is a good Christian.
Right.
And have to go through the agony that they put him through just because they won't tell him the truth.
Exactly.
It's awful. He said that they don't let the contractors, the subcontractors, talk to one another. They don't want them talking to one another. He says it reminds him of the KGB.
Mm-hmm.
And he's an immigrant from another country, so he has a little bit of background there. And he just is sickened by it. And so are we. We're so saddened that innocent people are dragged into this abortion industry without even knowing it, you
right.
know? Imagine the people that are working there right now that we can't reach. 10 years from now, they go by, they see us out there picketing if it gets built. That's only if it gets built. And then they have to deal with the fact that they were part of that.
Right.
How horrible.
Well, the ones that have the blood on their hands are the ones that knowingly do it. The innocent ones that did not know actually will not be held accountable. But after they find out,
the pain
then,
is still there.
Then they will. Yes, yes, that's true.
The pain is still there. So That was another success story from Saturday. We had a great turnout. That was absolutely encouraging for us to see so many people show up. Now, there's two websites that we want to encourage you to go to. One, familyagainstpp.com, and PP standing for Planned Parenthood. And then there's another one that's kind of interesting that you can go to. It's called the Whites Company. .com, and that is actually one of our websites.
Mm-hmm.
Some of our guys were able to acquire that website, and so now when somebody's Googling White's Company, that's going to come up.
Probably.
And so they're going to find out what the White's Company is really about. Mm-hmm. Oh, and another thing about this poor guy, this contractor, he actually owns the business, the subcontracting business that was there. He hasn't been paid. He's had the contract with Whites for 2 months, and he's never been paid. And now he's quit, so whether or not he gets paid is dubious. We'll see. And we're hoping that he'll get paid. We're hoping that he gets enough courage to go public, because then we can probably make sure that he gets paid.
Right.
But it's frightening for an immigrant to come into this country and face so much with not very much help, and we just are really trying to love this man and nurture him right now. So the websites again that you can go to are familiesagainstplannedparenthood.com and the White's Company. We're encouraging everybody that's listening to just go to the websites, browse them, learn as much as you can from them, and sign up to be a part of this force that is going to stop Planned Parenthood and help to end abortion as we know it. So, Sarah, Joe, now, on to you. Sarah, Joe, how long have you been in the abortion ministry?
Well, I have been involved actually since 1988.
1988, so that's good and long.
I went to New York in 88, in May, and I saw a pamphlet in my church about the rally or the event that they were going to have in New York. And reading it, I thought, this is the way to go. Christians are going to rise up, take to the streets, and shut down abortion for good. But I, you know, here we are almost 20 years later, and I realized that ideal scenario that I had is not the case. Just as we were talking earlier, that we thought as soon as the public sees the actual fruit of abortion, the dead child, the dismembered baby, immediately we would end abortion, and it didn't happen, did it?
No, it didn't. How long were you a Christian then, when you were in 88?
I had been raised in the church as a child, as a Baptist, knew the Bible very well, rebelled very young to do my own thing. I had come back to the Lord about 1986. And 87, I really began to, really, my life was really transforming. And in 88, and in 87 is when I read the pamphlet, and in 88 got involved and have been actually at most of the, you know, national events since 88.
The Operation Save America.
Operation Rescue event. Save America, yes.
Yeah.
I was out here 3 years ago.
I know.
And I lived in Colorado in the 70s, and I love it. I loved it. But
you came up to my cabin and stayed with me for a little while. That was neat.
You have such a beautiful place, that you know, up there in the mountains. I love the mountains.
So what drew you to the abortion? Why was abortion so important to you?
Well, not having been involved in anything pro-life up till that point, except that one time my sister, we tried to keep Planned Parenthood out of Ithaca, which is where I'm from, originally New York. And so we did like a march around the area where Planned Parenthood was going to put their facility to kill. They hadn't up till 1980. I believe it was 86, 87, they had never killed, or maybe it was earlier, 84, 85. But I wasn't committed at that time. I went to the rally because my sister was going to speak there at the meeting afterwards. And I really wasn't, I don't know, I didn't see abortion. I mean, I saw abortion as being evil, of course, but the real reason when I became pro-life and an activist and was the fact that I had had an abortion.
You did?
In the 70s, yes.
Mm-hmm. You did.
And I did not, I knew it was wrong, you know, because you have that, I believe everybody really knows that it's wrong.
You mean when you were going into
innately.
The abortion mill in the 70s,
right.
As you walked in, you knew it was wrong.
Yes, I did. Yes. I cannot say I didn't, and that's why I look at women as not being victims. I mean, yes, at times they're victimized somewhat in different scenarios, but they make that decision.
They
you
make
know?
The final decision.
They make the final decision, and the abortionist is, of course, you know, he's the one that does the act of taking the life of the child, but the woman is just as guilty. And afterwards, I knew that it was wrong, you know. But I had a friend who took me there, and she had three.
Oh my!
And told me that it was no big deal. It was Planned Parenthood, of course. And afterwards, I just knew it was a little girl. I named her, and it was difficult. I became very self-destructive afterwards.
That was in the 70 before you became a Christian.
That was in 77. Mm-hmm.
So what happened? Yeah. What were the self-destructive things that you did
afterwards? Oh, other than the fact that I was already pretty self-destructive. But it became worse. I was more, you know, with drinking and
drugs.
Just drugs and
Men.
And just acting out a very, well, what we see, it's a pretty common with women, post-abortive women. You know, they do act out a very self-destructive life.
Did you carry that thought with you all the time? Was it something you could put aside, or were the drugs what you were using to cover up the memory of the abortion?
Combination.
Yeah.
Because my life was pretty messed up anyway, you know, before that, but just compounded it tremendously.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that that's something that helped you to look for God or maybe slowed you down from finding God?
Well, you know, because of my background, I really had given my heart to the Lord, what I thought, and baptized when I was young, but I never had a personal relationship. I can really see all the way back in my childhood that I did not know as much as I was taught about Scripture and the Bible, and I didn't really know what a personal relationship was, and I don't think I had one. But I know that God's hand was on me, because many times, I can tell you, He just lifted me out of things and got me away from, you know, real danger, and just brought me back to Him. He let me go as far on the string, I guess on the rope, to hang myself and brought me back.
Well, you went as far on the rope as you could go and then
right.
turned to Him. Yeah,
yeah.
I can understand that. I did the same thing.
Right.
Although I never had an abortion, I certainly hated God. And I was never without an opinion, you know. So people were trying to tell me about God, and I just would not have anything to do with it. You know, I even left my kids with a babysitter one time that was teaching my kids to pray, and I fired her, and I really, really gave her a hard time. And she went back to Sicily, so I don't know how to find her, or I would apologize to her. But a sweet, sweet little lady that just tried to tell the boys about Jesus, and I drilled her into the ground. You know, mm-hmm. because I was so dead set against anyone telling my children about God, because I thought they were crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were crazy. So once you became a Christian, did abortion come back to mind right away, or was that something that was compelling you, do you think,
well,
and that was on your mind?
That was definitely a sin I had to repent of
mm-hmm.
and be forgiven for. Yeah.
And so how did you come to know of Flip Benham and Operation Rescue?
Well, it was Randall Terry at the time.
Oh, that's right.
And then, you know, then Keith Tusi took over, then Flip, dear Flip. I love Flip. And I worked a year for Operation Rescue in Binghamton, mm-hmm. which isn't very far from Ithaca. And I used to be able to go more often, and there were more events going on, more rescues. You know, we used to rescue and really literally put our bodies in between the killer and the child that was, you know, being taken in by the other culprit, mm-hmm. The mother. And things have changed a lot in the past few years. Become more, it's transitioned into other things, but, you know, it's...
Have you rescued in the past? Have you actually been arrested for rescuing, or have you spent some time in jail, or have you been able to kind of scoot out of that?
No, I spent quite a bit of time in jail.
Where?
I was in jail in Binghamton. Mm-hmm. That's where I gained all my weight. Eating commissary all day because we couldn't get out
How
and do any exercise.
There?
Well, I was there the first time about 12 days, and then when we were sentenced and went back to jail, it was about 17 days.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I have a story about that, but I don't know. One of the things I've had a problem with going to jail was, believe it or not, was the fact that we couldn't take any makeup in with us. And so I devised a system in my shoes where on the tongue of the shoes I put a little eye pencil and a little lip pencil and you know, a few other things, and then I had some mascara that I left in a that I left in a vest that they were frisking me for and didn't find it, so I had it in jail. When I was leaving jail, the regular criminals, the regular women that were in there, not for pro-life, other than pro-life, ratted on me and told the guards that I had makeup, so they came and looked at me, and they called my name, you know, Mendez, you know, and I came to the bars, and they looked at me, you know, and said, where did you get that makeup, you know, and so I got in real trouble, and they weren't going to let me out, but the one guard said, we know you'll be back,
yeah,
so we'll be waiting for you, because they got in trouble, so I was actually sentenced to 10 more days, because I refused to pay the fine. And so I, in being put into jail, I was going through some paperwork, and the one who told me that, the guard who told me that, came down, and she looked at me like, oh, good, you know, mm-hmm. she's coming up pretty soon, and we got her, you know. But the one who was, the officer that was putting me in said, well, just sign here, you're out. And I go, what do you mean I'm out? I'm coming in to, you know. He said, no, you're released. And I go, well, wait a second. I started arguing with him to tell him I was, no, I'm going to jail. And he said, no. So I ended up on the street laughing hysterically because they're up there waiting for me to really get back at me, you know.
Yeah, never got your makeup.
Never got me.
Oh, that's great.
Again. But
when I was in prison one time, you could always smell food cooking in the jail. You could smell it in the rooms, and I could never figure out how they do that, you know. And that was so stupid. It took me a while to figure it out. I go to iron my clothes. As you could check out an iron and iron your clothes. And I go to iron my clothes, and there was always this stuff on it that would take me so much to scrape it all off so that I didn't get it on my clothes and iron my clothes and have streaks on it. And then one day it dawned on me, oh, they're cooking on the iron. It took me so long to figure that out. So...
You learn a lot of things to survive in jail, don't you?
Yeah, you learn
a lot of ways.
Yeah. So when we go every year in July with Operation Save America, we're able to really affect towns that we go to, aren't we?
Oh, we are. We are. We just impact the whole. What things have transitioned with Operation Save America from the traditional, you know, rescue time, not that that might not return, but we do other things, and we have other ministries on the street, because after all, we are ambassadors for Christ.
That's right.
And that's really bottom line. We're fighting abortion, we're fighting the blood that is cursing our land, even now as we speak, we're judged. We're going to be judged, and we're being judged, I think, by Almighty God for what we have done with taking of innocent life and the innocent blood that has been spilled. But we also, so many people get saved on the streets. So many people are just witnessed to, and we lift up the Lord, and it's much more than just a pro-life ministry, I think.
Well, it's pro-life, just not in the abortion issue,
right,
in the homosexual issue,
exactly,
just in the ministry to the everyday person on the street.
Right.
We're able to affect them for the rest of their lives. Lots of times I've been able to stand on the street and pray with people and help them to accept Christ, lead them to the Lord, and get them in touch with people in their towns that can disciple them. That's really
exactly
very cool about it's a mm-hmm. well-rounded ministry, but
right,
at the core is saving the lives of the innocent baby boys and girls that are being murdered.
Yes, well, that's true, yes, but you get people saved, and, you know, they're not going to be
murdering their kids,
right,
hopefully.
Yeah. Pro-life is their spiritual life, too, so it's all-encompassing, I think.
Mm-hmm. Able to get out to the mills now?
I don't do as much. I'm involved with Rescue Rochester.
Yeah.
And there's some amazing stories there about hospitals closing down, whole hospitals closing down, mainly attributed to Pastor Mike Warren and Jerry
mm-hmm.
Crawford, you know, out there all seasons, you know, middle of the snowstorm and everything. But I don't do it as much. I've gotten, I guess my pro-life ministry lately have been my grandkids.
Oh, I see.
So, I mean, that's a lot of what I do now. I'm involved in their lives. And but I do, you know, get out to. Well, I wasn't there this year for the
March for Life.
March for Life. I was, you know, on a trip. And but mainly, I'm just I tell people individually always about you know, life issues.
I know,
and
you do. We here are looking forward to this summer because we're going to go with Flip again. And we're going to go either to Georgia. I heard that Colorado might be on the list. That's a scary thing because we don't have a lot of time to get ready for that. But if they choose Colorado again, we are up and ready to go. We're going to bring those people here, and we're going to work as hard as we can with Will and with Keith Mason for the Human Rights Amendment, the pro-life amendment that's going to be on our ballot. This time we have to get 76,000 signatures, and that is hard work. I went out with Cal Zastro. What a guy.
Oh,
Cal Zastro is an amazing guy. I went out with him on Friday from 3 o'clock in the afternoon to 9:30 at night downtown Denver. We had what's called here is the Parade of Lights, and it's a big parade with all these different kind of floats for Christmas. There's one Christian float in it. So we figured, well, maybe we'll be able to get a lot of signatures. And there's 15 signatures on a page, and I got 3.5 pages. Because even the Christians that were there that were singing their songs and thrilled about the float, they were more interested in the parade than they were interested in signing our things. And we walked all that time. We walked all that time. And every time I would ask someone, would you like to put a pro-life amendment on the ballot? And they'd say, no, I'm pro-choice. I kept thinking of them standing at the judgment seat and God just playing back that 10-second thing, and they didn't have the time or the inclination to save the life of a child by letting people vote. I mean, on the issue, it just seemed it was so horrific. All those people were down there and they're singing, and you know, it's Christmas time. You would think that would be the time where the hearts would be the softest, but that's not. We did get we meet a lot of good people. And like one little girl, she must have been 21, and she had a little baby with her, and she said, I wish I could sign it 10 times. And I said, I wish you could too, but you can't. You just got to sign it once. We need 76,000 petitions. So if anyone wants to get a hold of a petition, you can call the office at 1-800-8-NYART or 1-800-836-9278 And we'll take your name and we'll get it to Keith. He's out of town right now, but we'll get it to Keith Mason and we'll see to it that you get petitions. If you go to a church, if you have an organization, if you just want to see your neighborhood, if you want to go to a Christian bookstore and set up a table, you want to talk to a grocery store and say, hey, I want to get a petition, get some petitions signed here to get that amendment on the ballot, you call the office and we'll see to it that you get those petitions. We need 76,000 signatures in 6 months. Sounds like a long time, but it's not.
No.
You know, we actually will have to get 100,000 because there will be people who are not really voters that will sign that, some by accident, some by intention, to mess up the petitioning process.
Mm-hmm.
We could be the first state in the country to
That'd
say
be awesome.
That. And the bill is so cool. I don't have it in front of me, but all it says is a person is a person from the moment of fertilization. That's it.
A person is a person no matter how small.
That's right. That's right.
Wisdom from Dr. Seuss, right?
Except for he didn't have much wisdom,
right,
that
that's
guy.
True.
He's pro-choice.
That was about the only wise thing he said.
Yeah. So if we can get people to seek out the petition, we can get this done. We can get it done. We can get it on the ballot. If we get it on the ballot, it's just saying that people are people. That's it. There's not a word about abortion in it. And apparently the abortion industry is flipping out. How come it doesn't say abortion? Well, it doesn't need to. We don't need to talk about them. They're filthy murderers. All we want to do is say this is a baby. A baby is a person, rather. And then it protects even the old people.
Right. And which is another fight that's very strongly looming on the horizon.
Yes.
I mean, it's even now here.
We're going to be the old people, Sarah Jo.
I know, very soon.
So,
for me, anyway. I'll speak for myself, Jo.
Well, that's not like me. I'm always speaking for us. Anyway, we're asking you to get a hold of the office. We want to encourage you. If you see anyone, if you don't want to take a petition, go looking for one to sign. Get on those petitions. Get that amendment on the ballot. Anything that we can do that doesn't regulate child killing is a good thing. And it will help us to accomplish our goals in the ultimate goal being ending abortion in the entire country. And
correct.
That's what we need to do. And stop women from hurting like you have hurt mm-hmm. and have had to deal with over the years, the guilt of abortion. But thank God you came around, and not only did you come around, you're out there. You're
correct.
Out there fighting for the babies.
Yep.
And that matters. That matters, and there's a lot like you. I wish that I could get everybody like you together and just in one day and march on Washington and just say, this is it.
Correct.
So, folks, we thank you for listening today. I want to tell you, Bob will be back next week. And look for the petitions. Sign them. Get them. Call White's Corporation. Go to whitescompany.com. And familiesagainstplannedparenthood.com. Sign up. Get in the fight.